We're not leaving, though. So.
All right. So we're getting started. Hey, guys. Megan Collins from Style Girlfriend. I'm here with Taylor Davies.
Hi.
We have a lot to talk about. Most importantly, and most bitterly, no, is SG Madness. SG Madness 2018 concluded this week. I'm so excited that you guys had as much fun with it as you did. Taylor, tell us about our winner. Tell us who the people chose.
The people chose the Gaz. Ryan Gosling is our 2018 SG Madness champion, much to both mine and Megan's chagrin.
Look, we never said that he doesn't have great style. It just didn't feel like his year. Like, it feels like when The Shape of Water won over Get Out. Actually, it feels a lot like that. Where, I'm not saying The Shape of Water was not a great film. I haven't seen it. But
I saw it. I thought it was just okay.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. Like, Ryan Gosling, he's like, it's like a game theory kind of thing. Where it's like, he might not be your top choice, but he, like, pleases enough people that I feel like he won. Because it was, I don't know, like, because he was good enough for,
sure.
for
I
more
mean,
people.
He's the crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
He's playing Michael Jackson at the wedding. He's, like, you know, serving pizza late night to anyone. Nobody's going to be that mad at it.
Yeah.
But could you serve something more exciting?
Right.
Tacos. Could you play Earth, Wind, and Fire? There's more exciting stuff out there. Could have been a little different, but we have to say,
congratulations.
Congratulations, the people have spoken.
Yes. So the people chose Ryan Gosling over Michael B. Jordan. I had thought it was Michael B. Jordan's first year. It wasn't. I think he was in it last year, but he only made it. He made it through a couple rounds.
Yeah.
But he also didn't have as big of a year last year. Like, he just wasn't out there as much. But this year, obviously, he was really out there for Black Panther. And he looked great, and he took a lot of choices, which is why I liked him. And it feels like, yeah, it feels like he's having a moment. And I think that what I always maybe forget about with the Style Girlfriend audience is they are much more of, like, a legacy voter. Like, I do think that they vote, like, based on, like, past achievements maybe more than I would.
Interesting.
And I think they also vote accessible over aspirational.
That totally makes sense.
And that's, like, fine. I mean, on Style Girlfriend all the time, we talk about the idea of, like, style should be accessible, obviously.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to celebrity stuff, I think that is when you get to have some fun and, like, try some things that other people wouldn't have access to, because, like, something like a Black Watch double-breasted tuxedo that Michael B. Jordan wore to the Met Gala last year, like, you're not going to find that at J. Crew. Like, they don't like that in the Ludlow. And so, on the one hand, I can see how it would feel inaccessible or not off-putting, but it would be like, I don't relate to that. But on the other, I think there's something really fun about, like, that's what celebrity culture is for, is looking at the stuff that you're like, I couldn't necessarily do it myself, but, like, it's cool to look at. And maybe it even just gives me the idea to wear a double-breasted blazer. Might be navy, might be charcoal, but you're going to try, like, something that you wouldn't have because you saw this famous person doing it in a more extreme way.
Yeah, I feel like celebrity style should inspire, like, a little bit of, as one commenter kept using this word, and I love it so much, is whimsy when you're dressing. Mm-hmm. I love the word whimsy, but, like, I think seeing celebrities wear something interesting that, like, maybe, sure, you couldn't afford it. Maybe yours won't be, like, custom designed just for you because that all that red carpet stuff can be inaccessible because it's custom. But to take one element, like you said, like, it's something double-breasted that you wouldn't have picked before, and then saying, hey, I think maybe I could try something like that. I, too, have broad shoulders or a narrow waist or, like, whatever the case may be, if you see a little bit of yourself in this celebrity, you might be able to glean something. And I think that's our hope with SG Madness is, like, yeah, it's, like, fun. It's just, like, fun to vote and, like, fun to play along. But also we want to, like, give you that inspiring factor too.
Right. And I guess I would just be curious who out there has gone out and, like, bought a jean jacket because they saw Ryan Gosling wearing it. Like, did you guys really not own a jean jacket already? Like, I guess that's what I'm
confused. I think there's a lot of guys who feel weird about jean jackets specifically.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think they're an interesting touch point for guys.
Hmm.
Hugely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because that to me was sort of the sticking point is, like, what is Ryan Gosling doing that other people aren't? But maybe that is it. Because, I mean, to me, it's he wears boots and t-shirts
and a jean
chinos
jacket.
And a jean jacket. And that doesn't feel like anything that people aren't already doing. But tell me about this theory and men in jean jackets.
Well, I just feel like the guys that I have, like, spoken to openly about, like, when we're just, like, talking about style, it's one of the first things they ask about is, like, what do you think about jean jackets and leather jackets. Jean jackets and leather jackets, I feel like guys who are curious about style often ask me about, and I'm like, okay, I'm 100% in for both. But I think what they where they waver is picking the right style and then figuring out, obviously, what to wear it with. And this is, not surprisingly, this is like the foundation of Style Girlfriend. This is like what it's for. But I think with jean jackets, women sort of love this sort of like Canadian tuxedo vibe. Like, it doesn't scare us to mix denim on denim, like
right.
jeans with a denim shirt, jeans with a jean jacket. And I think guys are sort of like, can I do that? Whatever. That's what I've found. So
mm-hmm.
my hot take is make sure the denim is different colors
sure.
and,
yes.
and you're on
and
the
you're
go.
Fine.
You're done. You've
yep.
done it.
Yes. Okay, cool. Well, I'm, I didn't know that, which is weird. No one has ever asked me like, can I pull off a denim jacket? If it just feels like, of course you can. So I guess if this SG Madness has brought us anything, it's the understanding that more guys need to feel comfortable owning their outerwear.
Yeah. And now is the perfect season for the, like, we're coming
oh,
into
yeah.
jean jacket season.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, it's perfect for spring. So,
yeah.
congratulations, Ryan Gosling.
And congratulations, Gabby.
I'm going to miss dragging Gabby for this strategic choice of hers, but it was so cynical.
Yeah.
And then it, like...
she was right.
It worked out for her,
right.
So God bless.
Mm-hmm.
I want to jump into, we're recording this on Thursday. This will go up first thing next week. Today, as we're recording this, we put up a piece on Style Girlfriend about online shopping and talked a little bit about something I'm thinking about a lot, and I'm going to try to talk through this in a way that doesn't sound like I'm dragging anyone.
Okay.
It's gonna come off that way, and I
sure.
guess maybe I am, so that's just my... I'm just shooting up those flares now. I'm really interested in sort of AI as it relates to fashion, because that's something that a lot of people are getting into, and I certainly understand the desire for machine learning to help us in all kinds of myriad ways.
Yeah.
Personal style does not necessarily seem suited to be supported by AI. So I would argue that it's really important to have like a high touch, have high touch support when it comes to building your wardrobe, because you are a unique snowflake and you have not only a specific body type and budget, but you also have like unique insecurities about your, you know, hair color and your ability to pull off a jean jacket or whatever, whatever. And that is not necessarily, I don't know how you incorporate that into machine learning. So a really specific example is the Amazon Echo Look.
Sure.
Is a product that came out a while ago, and I now have been seeing a bunch of like influencer marketing for it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been seeing different female, mostly female fashion bloggers doing ads for it, like doing branded content.
Yeah.
And it's all felt really awkward and really bizarre to me. And actually, just before we started recording this, you brought up a really good point that it was like, why would they even be doing it with fashion bloggers? Like, the point of fashion bloggers is that they don't need a product like that.
Yeah.
And how Amazon Echo Look works is you have this machine that's like $200 or something.
Yeah.
That you, it's like very phallic looking. You like put it on your dresser
yeah.
and you're like, hey, Amazon, like take a picture of me. Okay, now I'm going to. Whatever, put on a different outfit. Okay, now take a picture of me. Okay, now tell me what outfit to wear. And the Amazon talks about how it's like AI supported, but like there's like human connection in there somewhere. I don't really know how that works. But basically then like it spits out an answer and it's like, oh, wear the outfit with the jean jacket. And everything I've seen, again, just from the, at least from the influencer marketing side, has been, there's such a disconnect for me.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just curious what you think, like what place you think that computers have like in online shopping, because I think there's certainly, not computers, but like computer technology, certainly there's places where it can help, right? Like there is data learning that can say,
yeah.
okay, if you really, you know, if you're this way, you know, you're this tall and you're this body type, whatever, then maybe the Bonobos Riviera shirt's going to be perfect for you, right? Like that is... That's possible, but I think
right.
it's hard when it actually comes into personal style, not just e-commerce, I guess.
I agree 100%, because I think it's something where, like, oh, okay, if you create a profile on a website like Eastdane or something that's just a brand like Bonobos, and you always consistently buy certain sizes, then you, like, I feel like the idea of getting an email saying, like, hey, like, you typically buy button-down shirts in this size and these pants. Have you seen what's new? That makes sense to me,
yeah,
because that's just data-driven and certainly not – that's not really AI. And I don't know a ton about AI. I find it kind of frightening. But my thought is that basically I think personal style is one of the most important ways you express who you are as a person outwardly to the world. And I think that removing the personal process that you take on to select your clothing and go out dressed is a little bit scary. Sad maybe is the word I'm looking for.
I don't think scary is overstating it. I'm terrified of
like what if
Skynet happening in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to be like the sheeple who eventually, like, the AI is like slowly but surely pushing you and everyone else that's using it into a certain way of dressing. So, like, you know, the idea is that, like, oh, like, 100 years in the future, if everybody's been using the style, eventually we're all wearing the same thing because we've been gently coaxed into it by our artificial intelligence telling us it's like our style. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
slowly, like, it happens so slowly you can't see it. Like, what's that thing? You boil the frog in the water, like, you gradually,
yeah,
turn up the heat until they don't know. Something like that. And I think... yeah, I think you're right. Machine learning does have a place for a lot of different things, especially, I think, with, like, medical stuff. And I feel like the idea that we could use it to help cure diseases and, like, whatever. I feel like personal style is one of those things where, like, let us be.
Yeah.
Let us dress ourselves. And I think I want to keep seeing people using fashion as this, like, self-expression, not as something that they tossed off to a computer because they can't be bothered.
Yeah, I think that last point is something that really resonates with me, because there is a sense of agency over being the one to ultimately make the decision for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm all for support when it comes to personal style. That's literally what Style Girlfriend's about, right?
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, giving you the tools and the information and the, like, enthusiastic pat on the back to say, like, hey, go out and try again, whatever.
Yeah.
A jean jacket. You might like it, you might not, but it ultimately, I think, should be up to the person wearing the clothes to decide, do I like this? Do I not? Do I want to buy it?
Yeah.
And when it feels like that's, yes, that agency is being slowly sort of like it's coming off your shoulders, it is too easy to say, like, well, this isn't important or this doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it up to someone else. That's one way of going about things, but I think there's merit in being like, I know what I like.
Yeah.
And learning that, right? Like, learning it along the way. I think just like anything else.
Learning it yourself, not teaching it to a machine.
Right. I mean, it's cooking. It's like driving a car. Like, there's merit in being able to do things for yourself. And I think being able to dress yourself in a way that makes you feel empowered and attractive, I think there's merit in figuring out how to do that. Again, it doesn't mean you can't have support along the way. I think it makes more sense to have it be human support.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
I mean, it's crazy to me. I think that the idea that we're even talking about having to say that doing those things is important is strange.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's like, that's being a person. That's growing into yourself. That's what, I don't know, that's what life is about in a lot of ways, is learning how to do things and adapting to your environment and kind of becoming a person throughout your life by, and that involves style. It involves cooking, like you said. It involves school, it involves your career, sports, like friends, relationships, all of that stuff. And I think, I mean, if it were up to me, I would just like throw machine learning out the window in every way except can it cure disease or like figure out an economic structure that can lift people out of poverty. Other than that, like, can we just do us?
That? Yeah, I'm with you. I wanted to read this. I pulled this from Fortune. They were talking about this app, Purple. I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's like the word pure, but purple.
Scary. I don't like that.
Super scary.
It looks like pure and people together, and that seems scary.
But they, yeah, I agree. So Fortune, they said, a YouTube blogger took its suggestions. It was like a similar app to the Echo Look.
Okay.
A YouTube blogger took its suggestions at face value for a week and was moderately impressed with its choices in spite of what she described as tedious upkeep. So if we're at moderately impressive and tedious upkeep, if that's where we are with fashion AI, I'd say, like, maybe let's just put it on the shelf for another couple of years and get back to it.
I feel like that's the touch point you need, is inspiration and tips and a permission structure, as you've mentioned in podcast past, and then letting everybody go out into the world and have their own agency.
Yes. And also, tedious upkeep.
Tedious upkeep doesn't sound good in any regard for anything ever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe as it gets smarter, as the robots become our overlords, like, maybe it'll be better or more, have more utility.
I just hope it doesn't.
Maybe not.
I'm so afraid. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's that they're just trying Amazon, Google, and, like, basically those two companies are just trying to, in a race to take over our lives and become, like, the most important digital platform in our lives, I guess.
Ugh, it is terrifying.
Scary.
God, this got really dark really quick. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to something a little more positive.
Okay, cool.
We got a reader question this week. Keep them coming, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Please keep emailing and DMing and however you're getting in touch.
Right, exactly, because I still have not bothered to figure out the voice recording thing, I'll be honest. Also, then I'd have to, like, cut it into the... no. All right, keep DMing us, basically.
Yeah.
They're open.
Yeah.
So we had a reader, and basically he just said, do you have any general advice on how to shoot your shot?
Mm-hmm.
So, Taylor, I had to explain this to you. You didn't know who Shea Serrano was, which I, like, didn't even know you could be on Twitter and not know who, like, Shea Serrano and Chrissy Teigen are. Like, I feel like...
I feel like you would, if I were to, like, open up my Twitter feed and let you scroll through it, you'd be like, huh?
Really?
Kind of.
I just follow, like, media Twitter. What's your feed?
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of media Twitter, but then I also feel like a lot of my feed is your feed. Because we interact with each other's Twitter so much that, like, so much of my feed is, Megan Collins liked this. Style girlfriend retweeted this. Megan Collins follows so-and-so. I'm like, okay, I guess my feed is Megan Collins' feed. And yet, somehow, given all of that, I have no idea who Shea Serrano is.
Yeah.
So please, tell me, tell the people.
So I'm sure most of the people know our, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm dragging left and right today. Shea Serrano is a writer for The Ringer, for Bill Simmons' The Ringer, previously at Grantland. Like, he's a sports writer.
Okay.
Sports pop culture writer.
Mm.
And he seems lovely. Like, he just seems like the friend that everybody would want to have.
Okay.
And I think that's why he's, like, developed this kind of cult following. He's written a couple books now.
Mm.
They've been bestsellers.
Mm.
Based, like, almost solely on just him mobilizing his Twitter army. And he, like, he acts like he's petty, but he's not. Like, he's always doing nice things. He's always doing, like, GoFundMes for, like, people that need it. And people just do. Like, his followers are just like, yeah, man, like, here's $10 for, like, that traffic crossing guard at your kid's school. It's crazy.
Married?
Yeah, he's married. He has three really cute kids, two twins and, like, a little baby with, like, it's like a boy, but he has, like, long hair. It's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is lovely. We interviewed her for Style Girlfriend, actually.
I'll have
to put up the link. Yeah.
Okay.
She's, like, a photographer, and he's super obsessed with her. Like, she's really pretty, and he's just, like, just thinks she's the best thing in the world.
Wow. What a concept.
Yeah. Follow. I mean, give him a follow.
Okay. I'm going to do it
soon.
Yeah. Maybe here while we're recording this podcast, but also, what a concept to be obsessed with your wife. I can't even imagine.
I know.
To be that obsessed with.
Shows how rare it is.
Yeah, welcome to 2018.
Woo! Okay. So one of the... So Shea Serrano.
Yeah.
Above and beyond, like, the FOH army, and, like, petty is a word he uses a lot. But another thing he talks a lot about is the idea of shooting your shot.
Okay.
Like, just on all the time, Shea Serrano is like, go shoot your shot today. And then, like, he'll retweet people who are like, hey, Shea, I shot my shot, and, like, this girl is going to go out with me, or, like, I got this job that I didn't think I was going to get. And he's always just like, way to go, man. So this reader said, like, do you have any tips on how to shoot your shot? Because I think it is tougher than just, like, someone saying, like, go out and do that thing you're scared of today. Like,
yeah, just do it is not enough advice for this.
Right, exactly. So this guy was speaking specifically, like, in the romantic arena.
My favorite arena.
So do you have any tips on how to shoot your shot with the ladies?
Sure. I think that... The basic piece of advice is to be confident and to go for it, right? But if you walk that back, I think the first important thing to do is to read the room. And read the room is like a, you know, blanket statement, but if it applies specifically to a woman, you need to read her. You need to read how she talks to you, how she interacts with you, and do your best to kind of gauge if you think you're getting kind of the same vibe that you're giving off that you're getting. So if you feel a romantic connection with her, do you think she feels it too? And that's not to say that if you don't feel it, you can't shoot your shot. But I think that this is like, if we're laying out advice, that's a good way to start, is to see where you think she is at mentally. And then I think if you get that vibe where you're like, oh, I think I'm using my best skills of deductive reasoning, that this isn't going to be completely out of place, right? And I think I don't want you to think that if you don't think she's going to say yes, it's not worth doing, because that's not what I'm saying. I think you just got to kind of use your reasoning to say, is she going to be offended? Is this going to affect a friend group, a work situation, however you might have met this person? And then go forward and do it, because being rejected is one of the most powerful and I think helpful things that can happen to you in your life. You get rejected from a job, you get rejected by a person, you know, a proposal that you set forth doesn't get accepted. I mean, all those things, that's how you learn. That's how you adapt. That's how you grow as a person. Like, it's the same as being dumped. All this stuff, like, it makes you stronger and stronger going forward. So that's where I'll start. And now you go.
Yeah. I want to push back and ask you a question about when you say read the room, and if you feel like you're getting the vibes back, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the advent of like online dating,
yeah,
I think that the radar for reading the room has gone down.
Okay.
So I'm curious if this is like an in-person situation, which I guess it has to be, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, I mean, shooting your shot online, just by getting on Bumble or whatever, that's,
yeah,
you're clearly there to do that. But so let's say it is like an in-person situation. If you're not sure, do you ask somebody? Like, do you ask a mutual friend and be like, do you get the vibe? Like, when me and Susie are like together, like, do you think that she's like into me? Like, do you think it's okay to pull in a third party?
Always. Oh yeah. 100%. But, and you know, go to a trusted advisor, especially if this is like, I feel like I keep kind of circling back to like work situations, but most of my guy friends have dated women that they've worked with. That's what I will say, like, definitively. And some of them still are. And like, I think that's the way a lot of people meet these days when you work in big companies and you spend all your time there. It's natural. But say you're in a friend group, for example, then you want to kind of like, I would pluck out someone who you feel like is trusted and someone who's not a gossip. Mm-hmm. And I think that for that reason, I would more ask, and not to shit on women, but I would ask one of your guy friends, not one of your women friends, because women get so kind of like, are so chatty and so sort of like sherry about this stuff that you, depending on the person, might run the risk of her kind of like hinting to this girl your feelings before you're ready to shoot your shot, perhaps. So maybe a guy friend might be a little bit, you might get a more objective opinion and feel a little bit safer being like, what do you observe as a guy? Like, do you think there's a vibe? Do you think?
But if the whole point is that guys aren't always that observant about the vibe, I don't know. I feel like you go to the trusted female friend.
But second opinion,
I feel like it's
always the second set of eyes, whether they're male or female, because I think you sometimes have trouble reading your own situation, but other people might.
Yeah, I guess I just feel like women are more perceptive about that kind of thing, because we are sort of, like, yeah, our antenna is more up on in that regard.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But regardless, point is, second opinion, it's okay to
Yeah, so I guess perhaps revise that to say, like, pick your most trusted person who knows the other person and ask them, male or female. And because I think that, hopefully, your friend feels that this is a touchy subject and can give you the respect to.
And the added bonus of putting it out there to a third party, I actually think, like, imposes sort of a time limit, because then at that point, like, you better do something about it. And
yeah,
that friend is probably going to pester you about it until you do.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
true,
because they want the best for you. And if they think that that might make you happy, then they're going to be like, so did you do something about it? Like,
yeah,
there's something kind of nice. It like creates accountability and like a sense of urgency.
I agree. And don't you think that having to articulate out loud what it is you think and feel will also help you get it right in your head? Because you can, I mean, it's all like hormones and vibes and feelings. And then when you have to explain how you feel and why you feel that way to someone else, it might help you get a sense of what it is that you're really working with.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. For me, I think it's do it early. I'm like, I either like you right away, like I put my eyes on you and I'm like, boy-yoing, like that's usually what happens to me. So I'd rather see what like develops quickly, because otherwise then it's like, okay, well, if it's not going to work out, then either like, great, let's be friends, or like your romantic interest and I actually don't want you as a friend. So like, let's just like put it out there.
Yeah.
So I think for me, like it's like be quick about it, because when things sort of go tepid or when things like peter out, that's like way more disappointing. Like I was thinking about this morning, and all of my biggest like romances that didn't happen, disappointments, are from nothing more than just like neither of us like being willing to kind of like be like, hey, like, yeah, I really like you, can I take you out, or like just you know, whatever. Like I've literally had moments, and like I can think super specifically of like three times in high school where like I got into this like infatuation with a boy.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is each time it was a guy who was in a younger grade than me. And so I'm wondering if that had something to do with it. But like, I can think of like, I just call up these very vivid memories of us like sitting in a car together or like studying together and just like electricity between us.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened because neither of us was willing to take that half step into the other, like to say, hey, this is something, I like you. Like we both were too nervous or whatever it was. And then it just sort of dried up, whatever might have been there. And so the biggest disappointment was just that nobody said anything.
That's so interesting. And I feel like when I had this big group of mixed group of girls and guys when I moved back to Seattle after college, and there was all this stuff going on, and people were dating each other and people were hooking up. And I also, but there were a bunch of people in that group who I like look back and wonder, and people who have kind of like come and gone from my life and who have lingered and who have stayed friends. And I feel like this is the thing with friends. Like it's really hard to know, because all of us sort of feel doubt. Women feel all kinds of doubt. Like we have intuition whenever, we all still feel shy and feel clueless sometimes. Like I look back and wonder at a ton of my guy friends as to whether like I sort of had like a semi crush and I never had any idea if they felt the same way. So nothing ever happened. And like, God, it's left to the universe. Like, who knows what would have happened if one of us had said something or done something. I'm not really sure what could have happened.
And I would say if a woman tells you, like, I just don't want to ruin our friendship, she just doesn't like you. Like, women will ruin any fucking friendship for romance, because
we have enough friends.
We have enough friends. We have girlfriends.
But I would blow up a friendship in a hot second for a romance.
Yes, 100%. With a guy, you would, if you thought that there was a chance that, like, he was your forever soulmate, future husband.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like, no, but I just, like, love when we get pizza and, like, I don't want to ruin that. Like, no, that's BS. So,
and that's, I think, you know, and that as you get older, also, I feel like we're in our 30s, so I feel like you feel much more like you want every relationship to live up to its fullest potential. Whereas I feel like when you're a bit younger, you feel like there's this kind of like elasticity to friendships and relationships, and you feel like the group is so important. So perhaps when you're younger, there is a little bit more fear of like rocking the boat in that regard. And I feel like now when you're a little older, you have less of this kind of like group mentality, so you feel much more willing to take the risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think the other thing I would say is like, be excited and earnest. I want someone to be like, can I take you out on Tuesday to this place at this time? Not, hey, like maybe we should hang out sometime. I'll text you.
Well, ambivalence is the least sexy thing on the planet.
Right. So I think that's like a huge key to shooting your shot, is to be really specific in the ask. I think that's true in life. Like, you need to know what you want and you need to be willing to say it.
Yeah. And I think what you don't, but I feel like there's a fear factor. If you're like, well, you want to go out, you know, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, can I take you to dinner? And they're like, I'm busy on Tuesday. I feel like it's okay to say, I want to go on a date with you. Would you be interested? I think the word date is important.
Yeah, I think
hang out, don't lose the girl in ambivalence, right? Like, you're trying to move out of murky water, so don't make the ask murky.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be clear and excited, as you said, excited and earnest. So I think specific, but I feel like you can kind of like, there's a little bit of, I'm doing a weird shoulder movement thing right now. There's like, I'm trying to show that there's a little bit of movement in what you can ask.
Yes. Clarify that you're wanting it to be a date.
Mm-hmm.
And show that you're making an effort already by saying that you have something in mind.
Sure.
Maybe saying yeah. Tuesday at 8 is too specific, but...
But saying, I want to take you out on a date for drinks, or I want to take you out on a date to go to this concert, this band we both really like, or this... A dinner, a restaurant we've been, you know,
talking about
on Slack for 10 years or whatever. Yeah. Something like that.
What about, and like, let's hope that everyone who takes this advice and goes and shoots their shot, they get a yes. But if they don't, what tips do you have for getting over a no?
Don't get angry. You can't fault people for, like, honest.
Not returning your feelings.
Yeah. And an honest no is better than a half-hearted yes. Like, you don't want to go out with someone who felt so weird about you asking them out that they said yes and then they don't really want to be there. And it could happen. Both of these scenarios could happen because people are weird and people do things, and you have to just sort of be malleable to the different situation. You have to be like, you have to be ready to kind of absorb what comes your way. If you get rejected, just, you got to kind of, I don't know, you feel your feelings. It sucks. Like, nobody's saying it isn't the worst to be rejected. I have been rejected in that situation, like, I don't know, like quite a few times. I have been there. So if you get the no, like, it's going to suck, but you'll be okay. Like, another chance will come along. And like, I think it's better to, I think I learned a lot from going through those like horrible rejection experiences. Like,
to your first point, like, don't get angry. Like, that's such a, like, oh God, disappointing thing that we even have to give as advice. But as men,
right,
like
as you
women who have experienced men getting mad at us for just us saying, like, no, I'd rather be friends.
Because, God, yeah, because if you're part of a friend group or if you work in the same office and then you ask someone out and she says no, and then that turns into you becoming, like, a petty monster in the group, becoming a petty monster at work, like ignoring her or being sly comments or excluding her from group texts,
yeah,
excluding her from group hangs, like, yeah, passive aggressive, like, bad behavior as sort of like punishment. That's a really bad look.
Yeah. I would say the other thing is obviously, yes, not get angry, but also maybe take a step back and look at your full approach. Like, don't just look at the actual ask, but look at how you were acting around her prior to you deciding to ask her out, right? Like, were you acting confident? Were you acting flirty? Were you acting friendly? Like, she might have placed you in the friend zone because you were sort of timid around her or, you know, awkward, right?
Yeah.
And so it might be a good time to really step back and look at your full approach in terms of how you act around women that you're attracted to. Like, don't look at just crossing the finish line of asking her on a date as your full mating.
Right. Like, it was like the build up doesn't matter, right? Like, it's
all of
don't
it
say the build up, right? Like, the, it's not just the ask.
Right. Exactly. So yes, you can like think about how to refine your ask for next time, but also think about, am I giving off the vibes of this is someone who I'm like physically interested in? Am I giving off the vibes of someone that is confident that if I asked a woman out, she would say yes? Or am I giving off the vibes of someone who's like, oh, no one would ever go out with me? Like, because if that's sort of your pattern, you know, of getting rejected or of shooting your shot and getting no's, like, it can't just be about that, like, last mile. You have to look at the whole race.
Before you even shoot your shot, maybe test the waters with these pre-actions that you might be able to look back on in hindsight. Like, try a little bit of flirting.
Yeah.
See about, like, eye contact type stuff, like physical touch, if any of that is in play. And like, because women will give you the look, like,
yes,
there's a look in someone's eye that like will let you know that there's sort of an understanding. And the way she mentions or brings up like hanging out in a group of people or grabbing a drink or like any of these things, like if you guys have previously like gotten after work drinks that have just been after work drinks, like, I don't know. I mean, so walk it back a little bit before you go for this big move. If you feel like you've got the time, you can like hang back a little bit and see how she reacts to smaller cues before you make your big move.
And that doesn't even mean like, we're not talking about a, you know, 3 month
no
approach, like
a week.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, be on the lookout for the cues before you make your big ask.
We can't dismiss all of the sort of like digital stuff that comes into play, like texting. sure, it's hard to read tone in texting, but also it's not that hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I feel like there's emoji, there's the use of, what's the word I'm looking for? Punctuation.
Oh,
like,
my
all
gosh.
This stuff, and
yeah.
all these, we all read into that stuff. Guys read into it, girls read into it, so.
How quickly they reply to your text.
Uh-huh. Pay attention to all of that, and the, like, the level of detail that people sort of supply in texting. Like, if people are short with you via text, like, here's your sign. Like, that's, you know. So look out for all of that stuff. Like, everything
yeah.
kind of, like, comes into play a little bit. Instagram likes. I don't know. All of that stuff.
Yes.
It matters.
Absolutely. And then, yeah. And then be confident and say, I really like you.
Yeah.
I would like to go out on a date with you.
And don't do it in the DMs. Do it in person.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
And not over text. Don't do it over text. I think with this first, this is an in-person, face-to-face ask.
Yeah. I like it.
And no more than one cocktail deep, I would say, also, because you want to have the genuine, you don't want someone to look back
it.
And be like, was this person drunk?
Yes.
When they ask me out.
Yeah. Be excited. Do it early enough in the game that there's not confusion over, like, oh, but we're just friends.
Yep.
Like, yeah. And in the lead up to shooting your shot, flirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, flirt.
Flirt. Do it.
Yes. Other, like, don't blindside them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flirting is so important in making sure that the signals are there. And of course, again, if you get the no, turn the flirting machine off.
Yeah,
especially if
that.
You have to work with them.
But keep
the
friendship machine
the friendship
on.
Group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I hope that helped.
I hope so.
Did it?
I think we gave some tangible tips.
Yeah, I hope so.
Me too.
Because I feel like it's so often the worst thing here being like, oh, men, when they do this, that, and the other. Oh,
yeah.
I don't want to make guys scared to ask people out.
No, I think we're just trying to provide, like, realistic tips, which is to just be self-aware and also be confident.
All right, and with that, it's time for hot takes. Can I go first? Because
yes,
I have
please.
This in the outline, and I just copy and pasted it, and it did that thing where it was, like, it's, like, bigger font, and
yeah.
it just the headline makes me laugh so much. So I saw this on Twitter this morning. It was a retweet from Towel Road, which is, like, the gay gawker.
Oh, okay.
And it's about Marc Jacobs, who's, like, the fashion designer.
Yeah.
I think people know who Marc Jacobs is, right?
Right?
He's a fashion designer. He's
yeah.
like a, he, like, started kind of, like, in a grunge way.
And I feel like if you ever had a girlfriend in 2009, you probably bought her a gift that was Marc by Marc Jacobs.
Yes. This is the headline that I saw this morning. It made me laugh so much. Marc Jacobs proposed to his boyfriend at Chipotle with the help of a flash mob. So there's so much to unpack there. I'm obsessed with the idea of this. I literally, like, I think there's a video. I'm going to watch it a million times. So the person that retweeted on Twitter said, guac is extra, and so is this. And I died laughing. I think that, first of all, I love a flash mob viral proposal video. That one from Home Depot where the guy sang Betty Who to, like, his boyfriend.
I
loved
know,
it.
But that was like 4 years ago.
I don't care. I loved it. And I think there's something so funny about the idea of Marc Jacobs, who's like this very hip, cool New Yorker.
Sure.
Doing something so
silly.
Basic and silly. And like
mainstream.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And I think that that goes back to, I mentioned the idea of being earnest, like in the tips about shooting your shot. And I really like when people just enjoy stuff.
Me too.
Like, I know
me
that
too,
I just
too,
spent, like, this entire podcast, like, shitting on a bunch of, like, whatever. But, like, I really just like when people are like, I just really like this thing.
Wait, okay. And also, this reminds me of a thing that I retweeted yesterday, which was, like, a funny picture of, like, I don't know, maybe it was a Pokemon, but it had, like, text on it that said, disliking popular stuff doesn't make you cool.
Yeah!
Or interesting. Maybe it was, like, disliking popular stuff doesn't make you interesting.
And it doesn't. So, like, if Marc Jacobs really likes Chipotle, like, if, like,
him or his or his fiance really likes Chipotle, like, that's,
yeah.
like, their favorite thing to
yeah.
do is, like,
maybe
order
they, like,
in Chipotle.
Go there after the gym and get, like,
burrito
like,
bowl.
Yeah, exactly. If that's a thing that is special and fun for them and integral to their relationship in some very sort of mundane but lovely way, then amazing. And if, yeah, maybe his
yeah.
boyfriend saw that, you know, Betty Who Home Depot video too and was just like, made some offhand comment one day that was like, that's actually really nice. And then maybe Marc Jacobs tucked that away in his brain. And then when the time came for him to be like, I want to propose, maybe he was like, I know it would be perfect. Like, it's just so sweet and small and lovely.
Yeah.
That I just, I can't get over how much I'm obsessed with, like, the idea of this.
Well, yeah, because I think anytime you hear about a super, like, a kind of over-the-top but incredibly earnest proposal or just any sort
any
of, like, gesture, grand gesture, right? You're just sort of like, you gotta give it to the people for doing it because effort is amazing and being bold with your feelings is amazing. And, like, just doing something like this, I feel like it's just so funny and sweet and hilarious. I love it.
Yes. I know. It's funny because it's so not my style. Like, I would not like that. I will just say that. But he must have assumed that his boyfriend would. And, I mean, I'm guessing he said yes. Like, he probably did.
Yeah, exactly. So, Marc Jacobs probably did a good job of reading what his boyfriend, now fiancé, would find amazing and, like, memorable for a lifetime, whereas you want your boyfriend, fiancé to be able to put that into play in your own situation, which would be the opposite of the Chipotle flash mob.
Whatever the opposite of a Chipotle flash mob proposal is, that's
what I want. Yeah. Is yours, like, remember that moment in Stepmom when he proposes by tying a string to her finger when she's laying in bed, and then he slides the ring down the string, like, onto her hand?
Wow.
While, like, giving
that.
This, like, soliloquy about how much he loves her to Julia Roberts?
I don't remember that.
I think about this all the time. I don't know why.
I liked that movie.
Stepmom, so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But something
really
intimate
sweet.
At home and, like, maybe involving, like, a monologue of their love to you.
I don't know which is less embarrassing of a reference, but what I think about is when John Stamos proposed to Rebecca Romijn of MTV's, like, fourth House of Style iteration they were, like... I don't know. I remember reading an interview. They were, like, in bed, and he took a cigar wrapper, like the little ring wrapper, and put that on her finger.
Oh, wow.
And I liked that. I think the idea is something small.
It's amazing,
I guess,
that you
in bed, apparently.
Remember that.
Well, you remember the Stepmom thing.
Oh, wow. It's a movie. It's on TV all the time. I don't feel like anybody's, like, replaying, like, the John Stamos proposal, like, on TV, on TBS on a Sunday when you, like, lay down and you're like, I guess I'll watch this again.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, like, stuck in my head.
Do we know which Chipotle was? Was it in Manhattan?
Probably.
You think?
I mean, it must have been, right?
In my mind, a flash mob has to happen at, like, a freestanding Chipotle with a parking lot outside that's, like, off of, like, a really, like, busy street.
We'll find the link. We'll put it in...
In the show notes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're so cool.
If we remember, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my hot take is just, like, be excited and enthusiastic and earnest about stuff. If that's, like, not even if that's your thing. Just, like, be excited about stuff.
Because it's not cool to not be excited. Yeah. Oh, I just feel like being smug is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. And Marc Jacobs has always struck me as kind of smug. Like, he's always seemed too cool for school. So
well, once he lost all that weight.
Right. So, good on him.
Good on him.
Yeah.
Love it.
What's your hot take, Taylor?
Okay, my hot take is also super endearing and earnest. My hot take's name is Sam Barsky.
Okay, your hot take is a person.
I would look him up immediately as we were saying this on Instagram. His name is Sam Barsky Knitter, K-N-I-T-T-E-R. He is an artistic knitter, and he's kind of like having a viral moment right now because this guy, he knits these sweaters of mostly of scenery, and then he goes and stands in front of that scenery. So if you look on his Instagram, this is the most amazing thing. And he's just like a guy. He's like kind of balding. He's got glasses. He's maybe like, he's got a little bit of a belly, and he's got this amazing smile. And he does like a knitted sweater of a beautiful road with like mountains and stuff. And then takes a selfie of himself standing on the road that he knit. A selfie of a boat standing knits a boat, stands in front of a boat. Knits flamingos at the zoo into a sweater and then wears that sweater at the zoo.
We'll put a picture of this as well, but something I want to call out is that they're short sleeve sweaters and that somehow makes
every
it
single
more
one.
Adorable.
Every single one is a short sleeve sweater. Oh, wait, no.
Oh.
False. Here is a long sleeve sweater. I feel like he's probably feeling a sense of urgency in that it takes less time to make the sweaters if they're short sleeve, and he's like having such a fun viral moment that he's got to keep turning out these sweaters.
There'll be a sweater tank soon.
I find this to be so endearing because I just like love a viral fashion moment that like it just is like nothing but like heart, right? Like, there's nothing but just, you just got to be like, this is so sweet and endearing and funny. And like, how fun for this guy that like, he's having this moment of adoration.
Yeah.
For these sweaters, because they really are, I mean, I don't know how to knit.
Nope.
Knitting looks hard to me.
Mm-hmm.
And knitting these kind of intricate seams.
That he must make the whatever models for himself, right? Like, you're not buying a pattern of that, so.
Yeah. And it looks like he also at one point knit himself an African animal sweater and then knit his wife a matching dress.
Oh, he's married?
How cute is that? We're looking at the picture right now, and it's, they're at the Maryland Zoo.
Cute.
And, oh my God, it's too much. It's so cute.
For some reason, I thought he was British. That's really sweet.
He's got a .com, not .uk, so.
Okay. He's adorable. I think I learned about him when the editor-in-chief of InStyle, who I love, Laura Brown, she Instagrammed something about it. And then I think it kind of took off from there.
Exactly.
And yeah, he looks proud of himself, but also just sort of like he's having a good time.
Yeah. And you know who's not going to tell you to knit a sweater and wear it in front of a place because it makes you happy? Artificial intelligence. That is personal style. That is doing your own thing. That is expressing your true self through what you wear. And that's why AI, I think, will never replace people wearing what they like and creating it for themselves.
Way to bring it full circle, Taylor.
That's my job.
All right. That's our episode for this week.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. If you haven't yet, go rate and review us on iTunes. We should be in all of your major podcast.
Subscribe,
ears.
Do all the things, click subscribe. It makes a difference.
Oh, we're working on getting in Spotify. So that's something that hopefully will be in there soon enough. Because I know that's
cool.
How a lot of people listen to their podcast too.
Ah, love Spotify.
Yeah. All right. Till next week, guys.
Bye. See you soon.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.